The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after: to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in God's temple. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks to Keith Jarrett, I had a true blue spiritual experience when I was 17 years old. It was a moment so extraordinary that I don't talk about it much. Never even told my mother, who happens to be here. I do not wish to cheapen it by overexposure, because the experience was a gift I now understand as a moment from God's Spirit. It was around the Thanksgiving holiday, as I recall. I was in one of my recurring adolescent funks, and I had retreated to my bedroom and shut the door. I don't know if I'd had too much of my family, or if they had had too much of me, or if I was simply in a foul mood, but for some reason, I stretched out in the bed, I turned on the stereo, I put on a set of headphones, and I reached for a brand new recording that I hadn't yet heard. The album was called Arbor Zena, and I had found it in the jazz section of a store at the local mall. It didn't sound like jazz at first, a lot of shimmering strings from a German chamber orchestra. They played a suite of three Keith Jarrett compositions, and as they shimmered, Keith and bassist Charlie Hayden and Norwegian saxophonist Jan Garbarek improvise over top of the strings. The notes were swirling upward, and pretty soon I was swirling upward too. I never had an experience like that. It was as if I had been lifted out of the bed, off the bed, floating 3 feet into the air. The music was coursing through my breath and my bloodstream. I was absorbed by it. Time slipped away, and for a moment, there was perfect peace. A rare thing for a 17-year-old. Conscious thought ceased. It was as if I was held in greater hands, and I didn't want that to end. And when the music concluded, I was back in the bed, perfectly still, with no need to move or do anything else. And then pretty soon I was 17 again. But I have never forgotten the experience of that moment or its profound effect on me. It was a complete loss of words to describe it, but the word that lingers, the word I would use to describe it, is beauty. Complete, sublime, blissful beauty. I don't know if you've had a moment like that. I suspect you have. And if so, I suspect you've done what I have done, shake it off or dismiss it or attempt to explain it away. Like Ebenezer Scrooge trying to explain away the appearance of Marley's ghost. You may be an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of underdone potato. After all, that moment for me came after Thanksgiving dinner. Maybe I'd eaten too much of my mom's good pie, or the turkey was pushing me to that zone between wakefulness and sleep. But as I've talked to musicians, photographers, and poets and writers and painters and architects and hikers and bikers, I've decided not to dismiss that experience or to reduce it somehow, because for one thing, it was real. It was very real. And for another, I've had more moments like that throughout my adult life, and each one has lifted me into the spiritual presence of beauty. Now, we don't talk about beauty very much, either in church or out of church. Why do you suppose that is? Maybe it's the same reason that Presbyterians don't talk much about spiritual experiences. They lie outside our comfort zone. For the benefit of today's visitors, Presbyterians are hardworking, rational types. Nuts and bolts are our currency. That's why our sanctuaries tend to be rather plain and our worship normally pretty tame. But the moments of beauty still come, don't they? Maybe it comes to you in the song that makes the saxophonist cry. Now, in the Bible, beauty is a word that doesn't appear very much. That's telling in all kinds of ways. Sometimes, when it does appear, the word is translated as pleasantness. That beauty is what creates an experience of pleasure. You see something, you hear something, you smell something, and you go, ah. The most famous of those occurrences is a verse from the psalm we've just heard. The poet wishes to be in the constant presence of God, or as he puts it, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, he's not talking about spending every waking hour in the church. Good Lord, imagine the committee meetings. No, he's talking about something bigger. He's talking about living in the presence of the Creator, of dwelling with the one who is the source and the destination of all life. The psalmist calls this to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, this is not mere escapism, what Karl Marx called the opiate of the masses. And it's not just mere optimism, although a positive attitude does tend to improve us and those around us. No, the psalm is pointing beyond those things to the ultimate reality, the heart of all things. The fact of the matter is, Psalm 27 mentions evildoers, opposing armies, devoured flesh. That's why I cut off the reading at verse 4. It gets rather bloody and brutal. But it points through them to the beauty at the heart of God's creativity. And that's the truth of the text from the book of Revelation. In the concluding pages of the Bible, the prophet John sees a new Jerusalem coming down here. We don't fly up to heaven. Heaven comes down here, and it stays. And then John strains to speak language that touches the vision, much less describe it. The city is enormous, he says. The streets are paved with gold, and the pearly gates are always open. If I might speak on behalf of our musicians, a beautiful city with open gates, that's good news. And then we hear the city's foundations are 12 huge precious stones. Now, some of them are known to us, emerald, topaz, amethyst, and some not so much, chrysolite, jacinth, chrysoprase. The prophet doesn't have the words to describe how beautiful they are. They are beyond him in every way, but they are real. And the even more curious thing, if you know the book of Revelation, is that you have to wade through 20 chapters of pain, war, destruction, and desolation before anybody gets to see the totality of the beauty. Along the way, you might catch a glimpse. Maybe you hear a song, see a vision, and those moments are enough to keep you going. And when these moments come, they are gifts, because most of the time, life has its challenges. Try telling the people of Houston that the world is a beautiful place. This week, I think they'd beg to differ. The scenes after that storm and all the rain are heartbreaking, yet in the middle of that destruction, there are glimpses of beauty, particularly of people helping one another, or arriving with cases of fresh water, or even brief rainbows pointing beyond themselves. Reminds me of after 9/11, as the shock subsided, all kinds of help was offered and given. One of my favorite stories was about the musicians who suddenly appeared at St. Paul's Chapel in Lower Manhattan. It was the Rescue Center. Some of us were there. They pulled out their instruments and started playing chamber music because they wanted to declare to the world, there is more to life than all that pain. It was a holy moment, a beautiful moment. And it gives us a clue how to get through, that we have to chase after the beauty because it's so real. We thank God, I guess, for the artists and the photographers and the musicians who point to something so glorious that they can't even describe it. We pray for God to set the rest of us free from all that restrains us from what the psalmist calls the beauty of holiness. Now, when Keith Jarrett was presented the National Endowment of the Arts Award for being a jazz master, here's something he said. Music is not something you can use words to describe. Music is either in the air and you find it, or it's in the air and you don't find it. Maybe you don't try hard enough. You can be educated to play the piano, educated about chords, you can be educated about scales, educated about everything there is you can do with music, and you're still zero until you let go of what holds you back. And all of us could possibly not be held back, but most of us don't let it happen. My job, he said, is to let it out. So I heard him let it out one time. He was playing a concert in Princeton, New Jersey at the theater across the street from my graduate school. And I paid a lot of money to take a date and hear the concert. Now, I should have warned her. At that time in his career, the pianist would come out on stage and do a totally improvised piano concert of an hour and a half or more. Totally blank, just sit down and play whatever came out. He let it out. Jarrett got to be quite famous for this, traveling around the world to improvise these concerts. The problem is that sometimes he had a good night. I mean, the guy can play. He's an extraordinary musician. That night, however, he left us in the dust. My date kept looking at her watch. She went to the restroom during halftime. I wasn't sure she'd come back. When she returned, she said, "Is the second half going to be as long?" We had just survived an hour of thunder, and the second half was more of the same. No discernible melody. None too soon, he finished, and to our amazement, the room exploded in applause. And I'm looking around thinking, what? Maybe everybody was just grateful. But then the crowd stood up, still applauding, and I wondered if perhaps maybe we were the only ones who didn't have a clue what we had just heard. Felt like our ears had just been assaulted. Jarrett came back out, acknowledged the applause, then moved toward the piano, and my girlfriend groaned. He sat down, cleared his head for a moment, then he played Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Simple, heartfelt, accessible, available beauty. His encore was only a few minutes long, and when he was done, there was complete silence in the hall. Nobody dared to disrupt the moment. Just then, I first prayed the prayer that I have prayed every time since. Whenever I have found myself in the presence of profound, indescribable beauty, Lord, let it happen again.